WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Authorities say the man charged with attacking a group in Boulder, Colorado yesterday had planned to do it for a year.
He said he wanted them all to die. He had no regrets. And he would go back and do it again.
Acting U.S. Attorney Bishop Gruhl says Mohammed Salomon targeted what he called a Zionist group.
He said that he had previously tried to purchase a firearm, but resorted to the Molotov cocktails when he could not purchase a gun because he was not a legal citizen.
12 people were injured as they gathered to bring attention to the hostages in Gaza. Salomon was charged with a federal hate crime.
We fully intend to hold Mr. Salomon accountable for his actions, and these charges are the first step.
The attack comes after the murder in Washington of two Israel embassy workers. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
There is a heightened police presence in large cities and have been really since that attack 2 weeks ago.
His bond has been set at $10 million. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Republican lawmakers are proposing new legislation to fine Wisconsin residents who intentionally misrepresent their pet as a service animal. The bill would change the definition of a service animal under state law to more closely align with federal law. Current state law considers any animal trained to assist people with a disability to be a service animal, but federal law is restricted to dogs and miniature horses. Residents who violate the law could be subject to a $200 fine for their first offense and a $500 fine for subsequent offenses. Republican lawmakers are proposing legislation to make it easier to bring election complaints to court if dismissed by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The bill would make changes to current state law, allowing anyone who appeals a commission decision to have legal standing to bring the complaint to court. The move comes after the Wisconsin Supreme Court dismissed a 2022 lawsuit challenging the use of a mobile voting van in Racine. They ruled that Racine County Republican Party Chair Kenneth Brown did not have legal standing to bring the suit. One person was arrested following a Sunday crash involving a UTV and a Polk County Sheriff's Office patrol car. According to law enforcement authorities, the crash occurred at around 1:30 a.m. on Sunday. A Polk County deputy and a K-9 were traveling on Highway 35 near the village of Dresser when the driver of the UTV allegedly sideswiped their car. The deputy and K-9 were not injured in the crash, but their vehicle suffered significant damage. The UTV driver fled the scene of the crash but was later located, and authorities believe alcohol was a factor. Congressman Mark Pocan and local Democratic lawmakers held a town hall at the Pablo Center in Eau Claire on Saturday. During the town hall, Congressman Pocan broke down a number of the provisions in the budget bill passed by the House last week, warning of significant cuts to health care and food assistance programs. State Representative Jody Emerson highlighted concerns about the state biennial budget process, saying it's almost impossible to plan the budget when lawmakers don't know what level of funding Wisconsin will receive under the new federal budget. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On to Cincinnati.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers at Great American Ballpark tonight to open a three-game set against the Cincinnati Reds, the crew coming off a 5-2 win over the Phillies yesterday to complete the sweep, but they lost designated hitter Christian Yelich, hit by a pitch from the Phillies left-hander Ranger Suarez in the first inning.
Yeah, he got me pretty good. I hit the knob a little bit, just crushed the bottom of my hand also, so it is what it is. That stuff happens, but swelled up and made it tough to grip the bat. And, you know, it's your bottom hand, so you don't have that. It's not strong enough, so made it tough.
X-rays after the game were negative. In golf, Maya Stark of Sweden, the winner of the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin, she says she reached out to her coach at the start of the week for some last-minute pointers.
You know, I had my coach here this week, and I texted him a couple of things, and I said, what do I do if my putting feels like this? And he just nailed the advice this week.
That's golfer Maya Stark with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight with showers and thunderstorms developing, temperatures dropping into the 60s and then staying there for tomorrow with cloudy skies and more areas of rain. Mostly sunny for Wednesday and Thursday. Warmer again with highs in the upper 70s. Currently 89 degrees.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media. And the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
That's me. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, happy Monday, everybody. I am so glad the weekend is over, and it is finally Monday. So I have a place to go and a place to be and stuff to talk about. I don't really talk about anything that exciting over the weekend other than the weather and what to do, what movie to see, what to eat. But tonight, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we get to get together as a group and talk about movies and TV and comedy and music, and we're going to do it all tonight. And bar soap, that's on the agenda. Conrad, did you get your order in for Sydney Sweeney Bliss, Bathful Bliss?
Yeah, they actually had a little deal. If you buy 30, okay, you get it a little cheaper. So I pre-ordered.
How much?
I bought a 30 pack.
A 30 pack? How long will that last you? About a week and a half?
A week. Who knows? I'm going to take a lot of baths.
It's all good stuff. You know who's going to have to take a lot of baths? Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
If this soap sells, she's going to be in the tub round the clock.
She's going to say, see you to acting, and just become a full-time soap salesman.
A mogul. She's going to become a soap mogul. And I think that's great stuff. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of stuff tonight, folks. Got a great show for you tonight, and great to have you here. If you're watching on the stream, Conrad, how can they watch the radio?
Yeah, if you want to go to Facebook and go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, WGBW or WISS. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter or X, WGBW or Civic Media. And you can give us a like.
Give us a like. Give us a follow. I think it's our friend Todd Albaugh that coined the phrase. And Aaron Zalmers is here tonight helping out. Aaron, tip of the hat. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to be here temporarily behind the scenes at Nightlight.
Yeah, I always appreciate... Zalmers is great because he's always here when I come down to do the show in Madison. He gets me set up, or Chris Casper. But tip of my hat to everybody, Corey, Aaron, Zalmers, Casper, Sage, everybody here that helps out and lets me do my show here when I have to be in town for other stuff or Civic Media stuff or PBS. It's great to we are coming live from Madison tonight, folks. That's where we're at, overlooking beautiful State Street on a gorgeous night in Madison. Aaron, what do you think it is, like 80 out? It's hot.
Is it? I haven't been outside since earlier. It wasn't as hot earlier.
Yeah, it's, it's probably cooled off a little bit now, but it's so crazy. This is so Wisconsin.
83.
Right now?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Conrad, let's get a temperature check.
You know, it's pretty nice here in Green Bay. You know, I look outside and the sun's shining. So you don't need a temperature, actually. You just go by how the sun looks.
You just don't have one at the ready, and you're mailing it in on your five-day forecast. That's all right.
82 in Green Bay is what it says.
82 in Green Bay, so they're 1 degree warmer. But, Conrad, you got the shorts on and the short sleeves. You're looking good, bud.
Well, I actually don't got any shorts on.
It's another pantless night for Conrad when Pete's out of the studio doing the show for Madison. Zalmers is nice enough to wear pants when I'm here, so I appreciate that, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Well, see, he's wearing it because you're gone. I'm wearing it because you're here.
Exactly.
It's, yeah.
But, you know, you've been here all day. So Conrad, like, he goes in, and I think from, like, 2 o'clock on, you're, like, the only guy there, Conrad. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Place clears out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, Eliza's been here, you know, for, to the later of nights. So I get to take my pants off a little later during the day.
Okay. It's a really creepy conversation. This is almost as creepy as Sydney Sweeney bathwater soap. But anyway, it's great to have you folks here. If you're listening on the app, which you should have, or the radio, we hope to hear from you throughout the show. Phone lines are open. Text line is open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Lots to talk about. Lots for you guys to weigh in on tonight. We'll get to the question of the night in just a moment. But right now, I have to tell you guys about a really cool civic media contest. It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. And it, like a lot of our contests here, it's kind of the same. You have to have the app to play. You'll get a keyword. You text the keyword in right after you get it, and you're eligible for prizes every hour. And then if you enter in that hour, you're eligible for a grand prize too. So listen to your chance for our statewide Text to Win contest. It's called Scotty Summer, as I mentioned, and it goes through June 13th. It starts today officially. So there's no more chances to win today, but tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m., if you text in the keyword, you'll have a chance to win $100 cash or Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets each hour. How cool is that? That's a lot of tickets and a lot of cash. Can you win twice in one day? Either one of you guys know that?
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Either way, each hourly entry qualifies you for one of 2 grand prize trips, and these are fantastic trips. One is to Door County, and the other is to Baraboo. Both beautiful spots in our state here, and we're giving you gas money. So if you got a Hummer or a Cybertruck or a Honda Accord, whatever, the gas is covered, folks. Compliments of Civic Media. You have 4 daily chances to win. Enter now through Friday, June 13th. Good luck, everybody. That's a great contest. So let's get to, we've got great guests tonight. I'm very excited because I have 2 in-studio guests. And the first one is a guy named Austin Galante. He'll be here at 6:35. And he has a movie called Sanguine. Oh, I have to pull this up because it's a crazy title. I love this title. And I'll pull that up. But at 7:20, my buddy Ben Reiser will be here. Ben programs at UW Cinematech. And he's a great guy to talk movies with. In fact, this will be fun. Conrad, have you seen Sinners yet?
I still need to see it. I might I might just be waiting until it's out on the stream.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that. But what about you, Aaron? Have you seen
Sinners? Despite my best efforts, not yet.
Okay.
I've wanted to, and every time I've been trying to make plans with a friend to go see it, it's fallen through. I should just go by myself.
You know what? It's a pretty good movie. I highly recommend it. And speaking of vampire movies, my first guest, Austin Galante, will be here in studio. He's a Madison guy, Madison filmmaker, very prolific. He's produced music videos, too. He's worked with Snoop Dogg, and he's got a new film coming out in like a week. It's called, I had to pull this up because it's a complicated title, Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. And it is a comedy horror. 4 vampires set out on a road trip to a cabin in the woods. What could go wrong? So I'm excited to see the film. The trailer looks great. And Austin is coming down here to talk about his film and his process and all that kind of fun stuff in person. It'll be good to meet Austin. And then Ben Reiser, as I mentioned, he programs UW Cinematech, which is right here on the UW campus. Folks, if you have not taken advantage of this really cool chance to see free classic movies right on campus here in Madison, I highly recommend you check out UW Cinematech. It's right at Vilas Hall. Like I said, it's free and it's a great program. Ben also works for the Wisconsin Film Festival, and he did not like Sinners. And I cannot wait to talk. One of the reasons I like having Ben on is because he just doesn't care. He will form his own opinion. He's not influenced. I don't think I'm influenced, but maybe I am a little bit. I liked Sinners. Was I influenced by the insane reviews and critics' reviews and audience reviews? Maybe. But I really liked it. And Ben did not. So we'll talk about that. That'll be fun at 7:20. And I think right now, Conrad, we should get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite game show of all time? It is National Game Show Day, folks. National Game Show Day. So what is your favorite game show of all time? Please text in and let me know, and I will read your text on the radio. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I think I have to go, and I'm mad. I had a three-hour drive today, Conrad. I was going to ask you to pull that clip. There's some guy on, I think it was Wheel of Fortune. It's all over Instagram. You guys might have seen it, but he's like, something like his answer was like, fax me a sausage plate or something like that. It was like the worst guess ever. None of it made sense. So maybe we can find that for tomorrow because it's a really funny blooper, if you will. But I think I'm going to say Wheel of Fortune because I feel like I like Jeopardy. I liked Price is Right. I liked Joker's Wild from the 80s. But I feel like Wheel of Fortune is something I could compete. I feel like if I went on Jeopardy, the pressure would be on and I would come across as a dunce. And I wouldn't want to present myself that way. So I'm going to say Wheel of Fortune. What do you guys think?
I mean,
favorite game show?
Wheel of Fortune's, you know, I don't know, maybe not my cup of tea. I kind of just get bored while I watch it.
Okay.
I'd say my favorite is Legends of the Hidden Tomb, which is a Nickelodeon game show
classic
that I watched when I was, you know, young. And it's like an obstacle course to have to get through to lift like the spirits or the curse.
Wow.
That, yeah. But it was a Nickelodeon game show. So I mean, when I was younger, I watched it. Yeah, it was a fun show.
Did you watch Double Dare when that was on?
I don't think I watched that one, no.
Our buddy Mike Schmidt, who's been on the show before, hates that game show because it's the one where kids roll around in food and have food fights. He says, this show should just be called Screw You Somalia. Like, we're just having food fights on TV. That was horrible. What about you, Aaron? You got a favorite game show?
My favorite game show, I think, has got to be Game Changer, which is not on TV. It's on Dropout, which used to be called College Humor.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's basically what's called Game Changer because they change the game every time. And a lot of the time, they'll give them a question or an activity, but not actually tell them the rules.
Okay.
And it's a lot of comedians trying to figure out what the hell they're supposed to do.
Okay.
And it's very funny.
I like that. But let us know what yours is, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is your favorite game show? That is our Nightlight question of the night. As I mentioned, filmmaker, Madison-based filmmaker Austin Galante will be here at 6:35, and UW Cinematheque programmer Ben Reiser, and he is a big-time movie fan. We will inevitably butt heads about a couple films we've seen, which will be fun. I got to tell you, you know, Conrad, I've told you about this game we play in my neighborhood called soccer golf, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so this started during COVID. We kick a ball to a tree, and everybody's got their own ball. It was kind of a COVID-friendly game, and it's become this thing in our neighborhood. Well, the other day, we carved out a new 9 holes, and we're playing the new course, which takes us down to the water. It's beautiful. Masters, eat your heart out. And these two deer run across the road, and a mom deer accidentally kicks or bumps the baby deer. And the baby deer is laying there in the middle of the road. I have a picture of this. We'll post this in the stream after the break. But behind my daughter's soccer ball is this deer. And I swear to God, it was maybe 10 inches tall, if that. It was a baby. And she walked over and took her ball away. And we left the deer there. And after about 2 minutes, it got up and it just scrambled and took off. But it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Possibly the cutest thing I've ever seen, too. Even cuter than my own kids' births. I'm putting this baby deer ahead of that.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are more majestic to me, but this baby deer was adorable. It was gorgeous. So, all right. So our question is, what's your favorite game show of all time? Do you folks have thoughts on the Sydney Sweeney bath soap? Bath time bliss. Order now while supplies are limited.
You can get a 30-pack.
I know a lot of people aren't buying it for cleanliness purposes, but whatever. Whatever, you know. She thinks it's a way to connect with her fans. A lot more intimate than an autograph, though. All right, we're coming back. We're going to read your texts. And what do we do? It's Dana Carvey's birthday. Maybe we'll play a funny Dana Carvey clip.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All my instincts, they return. person will burn.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating.
We are live from Madison tonight, ladies and gentlemen, doing the show right above State Street, as we do every so often here, and it is great to be in our state's capital. Beautiful night here on State Street, and we are coming to you live. And Conrad is up in Green Bay, and he is not wearing pants. I have issues with that, but as long as he wipes the seat down, I guess there's nothing I can really do.
Right? Yeah.
And I have no proof. I have no proof he doesn't have pants on, and frankly, I don't want proof. So there you go. Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite game show of all time? I said Wheel of Fortune. I did like Price is Right, too, when I was a kid. And what was yours again?
It was Legends of the Hidden Tomb.
Legends of the Hidden Tomb.
Okay. Nickelodeon game show. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. So as I mentioned before the break, we were playing this game we play in my neighborhood called soccer golf, and a deer ran across the road and was knocked over by its mother. Do you have the photo, Con?
In 1 second. Yes, okay. I will be able to.
So this baby deer, and I swear to God, it was maybe 10 inches tall. It's the smallest fawn I've ever seen. And it got knocked over by its mother. It was laying in the road, and I have two photos. There it is. If you're watching on the stream, you can see the photo. That's the baby deer. And if you have the other one, Con, this is to show you how small this thing is. This is my daughter's soccer ball covering most of the deer, if we could pull that one up. But it was unbelievable. And this is only, that's a regulation soccer ball covering almost the whole deer. That's how tiny this thing was. And it lay there for like 2 minutes, and then it got up and it like sprinted away. It was one of the coolest things. I do that a lot. It wasn't one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It was probably the coolest thing I saw last weekend.
Okay.
I'm trying to be more grounded in
reality. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. I don't want to be used too much hyperbole. But our question of the night is, what is your favorite game show, folks? Weigh in, and I will read your text on the radio. Always fun to do that. Had a lovely drive down here to Madison today. No issues, Conrad. I expected fully to have more on driving stories. And I didn't really have any. I did have when I left town in Marinette today. You ever get that person that like really hurries to get out in front of you when they're entering the main thoroughfare?
Yeah.
And then they go really slow?
Yeah.
It's like, why would you do that? They speed to get out in front. Oh, I got to get out there. And then I'm going to go 10 miles below the speed limit. You're obviously not in a hurry. I don't get that. But anyway, it was uneventful drive. Beautiful day to drive today. And you saw Karate Kid. Give us a quick thumbnail of Karate Kid. What did you think?
So I went yesterday, and okay. I was the only person in the theater. So that
really?
Was, I mean, that
by
was,
yourself?
Yeah, absolutely by myself.
Wow.
So I don't know if you knew this. I'm a big Cobra Kai fan. I love the first three Karate Kid movies.
Okay.
And
I saw the first two. I didn't see the third one.
This is more of a continuation of, I feel like, Cobra Kai a little bit.
Okay.
But so it follows the story of this kid who was in Beijing and then moves to New York. And I don't know. The story is kind of, it's okay. It's an okay story. Feels repeated. Okay. The end of it wasn't just like the other Karate Kids. Like if you watch Karate Kid 2 or 3, you're like, I kind of can sense what's going to happen at the end. It was a little different.
Okay.
More of the same, a little different.
Worth and then seeing. Is that, it worth seeing?
You could probably wait till it streams. Wasn't special.
Especially if you're watching it in a theater by yourself, you might as well watch it in your living room, right?
I mean, yeah, there's a couple moments where I could see like a crowd laughing at something they say.
Okay.
The end scene, like the post-credit scene, was one of the funniest parts of the movie. So that kind of made me a little like sad about
that.
What's
going on with the credits? Like all of a sudden...
Yeah,
because you didn't see Warfare, but Ben is going to come in here in the second hour. He did not like the Sinners credit scene. But no, I'm sorry. I know he didn't like the Warfare credit scene where they show the soldiers, the real guys who experienced this, what we just saw in the movie. So I am excited to talk to Ben about that. But so you're lukewarm on it, but it was okay.
You know, it's an okay movie. It's nothing okay. special, but not terrible. If
right.
if you like the Karate Kid movies, you'll probably like it.
A serviceable movie. We'll
yes.
leave it at that.
Yes. If you don't really like it, then I don't know if it's a movie for you.
Okay. Let's get to some of our answers for the question of the day. Our social media responses. Civic Media's own Luke Mathers. There's only one answer. Jeopardy. I think you're supposed to say, what is Jeopardy? But we'll excuse it, Luke. Thank you, buddy. Monica Hale says, Match Game. The stars' answers were funny, but also the host or stars, ribbed the contestants with dumb answers. Agreed, Monica. That was you could catch those. I think they're on one of the probably maybe Game Show Network. I think it's kind of fun when they show those old shows. I'll stop for like a minute or two, and then I'm like, why am I living in the past? And I'll move on, but I'll get a laugh out of it. Mike on this social media says the old Hollywood Squares. Okay, great one too. Thank you, Mike. So let us know what your answer is. Did Steady Eddie already text us, Conrad?
He did.
All right. Steady Eddie says he's in the 608. Where I am right now, Steady Eddie, good to be in your hood. He says, Pete, no pants for Conrad tonight on Nightlight. Sounds like an extremely casual Monday. A little too casual. In the Green Bay studio, my favorite game show, What is Jeopardy? Did you hear that, Luke? Steady Eddie bringing it. So have some fun with it, folks. You can go over. I guess I was on a game show. I was on Make Me Laugh when I was a stand-up, and it was a horrible experience. I didn't make anybody laugh. I was a decent comedian. I should have made somebody laugh, but it's a horrible format. Annie from Watertown says, really a hard one. Password was great. Family Feud, because one can play along. Jeopardy, because it's Jeopardy. Haven't really watched since No Alex Trebek. Okay. I forgot about Family Feud. I like Family Feud, too. You can play that on the Wii, too. That was always fun. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608, too. He says, would the Gong Show count as a game show? Absolutely, Tyler. Thank you, buddy. And then in the 715, used to love MTV's Remote Control. Totally forgot about that one. Thank you, 715. All right, when we come back, Madison-based filmmaker Austin Galante will be here. He's going to tell us all about his new, really cool film. We're coming back after the news, folks. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy people, holy shine.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is calling for the state to lift its vaccine requirements for kids attending school or childcare programs. During an event in Milwaukee last week, Senator Johnson said he believed some childhood illnesses like measles had been eradicated through better hygiene and sanitation, not just the vaccines. The comments also come as measles outbreaks pop up across the country, with over 1,000 confirmed cases in 31 states. Kids are required to receive the vaccine under state law to attend school or childcare programs. State Democrats have introduced legislation to amend language in the state constitution to better reflect the 2015 U.S. Supreme Court decision that legalized gay marriage. In addition to further solidifying the legalization of gay marriage in the state, lawmakers have also introduced the Marriage and Family Equality Act. That legislation is meant to update the language in state laws surrounding same-sex marriage and parental rights, making them more gender neutral. The bills are currently being circulated for co-sponsorship in the state legislature. A Rice Lake man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison following his 17th operating while intoxicated offense. According to court documents, law enforcement authorities responded to reports of a pickup truck swerving across the road and nearly hitting other vehicles in September. After identifying 72-year-old Mark Johnson as the owner of the truck, officers went to his residence and conducted a preliminary breath test, which showed his blood alcohol content to be nearly double the legal limit. Johnson also had a BAC restriction of .02 based on his prior convictions. A Mondovi man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison in relation to a fatal 2023 crash. According to court documents, 42-year-old Kenneth Van Meter previously entered a guilty plea to the charge of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. Authorities say witnesses saw Van Meter driving at a high rate of speed before rear-ending the victim's car near East Claremont Avenue and Fairfax Street. After being taken to the hospital, authorities noted that Van Meter did not appear to know where he was and thought that the crash had occurred in Menominee. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hey ho, jazz fans. It's summer, and there's nothing better than outdoor jazz in the summertime in Wisconsin. So if you're in the Madison area, check out the Madison Jazz Festival from June 5th through the 15th. This year's attractions include Emma Dayhuff, the Edwin Doherty Five-Tet, the Emmy Castro Peruvian Jazz Quintet, the Sweet Tooth Jazz Band, and check out Jazz Sunday at the UW-Madison Memorial Union. Aw, yeah. And if you're up in northeast Wisconsin, check out Sundrop Days. Shauna was known for its delicious Sundrop manufacturing and distribution center. The annual festival is held the first week of June every year and kicks off this coming Friday. There's stuff for kids, crafts, live music, and of course, some dynamite soda. That's right, folks. Finally, there is a festival centered around a delicious soft drink, especially the real sugar version in a glass bottle, baby. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight with showers and thunderstorms developing, temperatures dropping into the 60s and then staying there for tomorrow with cloudy skies and more areas of rain. Mostly sunny for Wednesday and Thursday. Warmer again with highs in the upper 70s. Currently 89 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow, will be here. And board games are good for you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. This is a Monday night version of Nightlight. We are coming to you live from beautiful downtown Madison above State Street here at Civic Media headquarters, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night where we are finally able to be back on the air after a long, miserable weekend and get to talk about the things we love. So it's great to have you with me. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite game show? It is National Game Show Day. So what's your favorite game show of all time? Dave on the stream says, The Price is Right, especially Diane. I know what that means, even though I don't know who he's talking about, because I just remember the Price is Right girls having a crush on all of them when I was like in middle school. And Dave says, whose line is it anyway? That's a good one, too. A little comedy, too. John on the stream says, our boys are fully trained and well-equipped. I don't think that's meant for this show. All right. So we don't want to get into a whole Catholic priest thing. It's not what we do here. All right. So great to have you with me. I'm very excited to welcome my first guest of the night. He is a Madison-based filmmaker named Austin Galante, and he has a new movie opening in like a week, and it's called Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. Austin, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great. Thanks for coming into the studio. I always like doing these interviews in person whenever possible, so I hope it wasn't too – was it a bad commute for you?
No, it's pretty, traffic's pretty thin.
Okay.
About 25 minutes.
From Sun Prairie, right?
Yep.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump in because I've got a lot of questions for you. I was looking at your IMDb page. You've had a pretty interesting career. You've done a lot of different things. And on this film in particular, you've worn a lot of different hats. So actually, all right, give us some background on you first, because I just kind of said you've done a lot of things. What brought you to this moment?
Well, I was in a band for a long time, and we did, you know, toured around the country and made music videos, and we ended up moving out to L.A. for a while, lived out there for 8 years, and I did acting stuff out there, and so commercials, extra work, and got to go see, like, a lot of different studios and stuff, and I've always wanted to act, and, you know, the audition process is just, like, grueling, you know? You know, I would go to auditions out there and there'd be like 50 people who like fit the bill, right?
For one
for one little part or something. So, you know, I've kind of kept doing that, but I had kids and I moved and fixing up my house, and I was learning how to engineer and produce music on my own and learning more about film stuff. And then I moved here about 8 years ago and met some people and started doing film stuff. So I don't know, one drunken night we decided to just make a movie.
That's great. Well, where did you live in LA?
I lived in Hollywood for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. I'm not sure. I can't remember. And then maybe 5 years, and then North Hollywood.
Okay. Oh, God, we could have been neighbors.
We probably were.
Like in Valley Village. I was there from like 97 to 2011.
Okay. Yeah, we were definitely there at the same time.
Ran into each other at one of the Starbucks or something. You talked about auditioning. That's interesting because auditioning is an art form in and of itself. And my guess would be that there are a lot of people that get parts because they're great at auditioning. And they're probably fine actors, but like, I remember taking a cold open class when I first moved to LA, and there was like 20 people in the class, and Cecily Adams taught it, who used to book Third Rock from the Sun, and she was like Don Adams' daughter from Get Smart. You know, I loved her. She's no longer with us, but she was a great teacher. And I remember sitting there going, everybody in this class is great. Like, there's just not enough stages.
Right.
So does that have anything to do with you trying to make independent films and kind of creating parts for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I still audition for stuff, but not quite as much because I'm so busy doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm working on another film that I'm making this summer featuring Robert Lissardo, or starring Robert Lissardo, I guess. And I, you know, I bit off more than I could chew as far as like still not having this movie like completely finished and released and, you know, press for it and everything. Yeah. And then at the same time trying to do all the pre-production stuff for the next movie. So I'm just kind of running around with my head cut off. But yeah, I still audition sometimes whenever.
What kind of, you say you audition when they come up, you're Madison, Wisconsin based. I would imagine there's a healthy dose of
independent film shot here. But when you say you audition, is it mostly over Zoom to bigger cities, or do you mean locally?
Well, a lot of the, so I think most of the films made here are short films. Okay. Most, not all. I know there are a few other full feature length films, but the most of the auditions I get are, a lot of them are commercials, and usually it's, you know, setting up your camera and doing the audition and then sending the tape to them to look at, whether it's for a, you know, a movie in Chicago or whatever,
right?
You know, that kind of thing. So.
Okay. Well, let's jump right in. Tell us about Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road.
It is a comedy horror movie about vampires who get together for a trip, a road trip to a cabin in the woods, and all of the stuff that ensues. You know, it's, I mean, it's pretty wild. It's an R-rated movie. Definitely don't show your children.
What is it rated R for? What did the ratings board have an issue with?
Everything. When you asked me if I could get you a 90-second clip, I started looking through the movie and I went, oh, I bet this is going to beat the Deadpool's F-bomb number. So, yeah. You know, it's like taking the idea of vampires, but then like just putting them in a real life setting, sort of. And so it's kind of like four dudes that have been friends for a while hanging out, partying, and, you know, someone told me like maybe compare it to The Hangover with vampires or something, but
oh, I like that.
I don't know if that's accurate or not. But
do the vampires in your film have to follow the vampire rules, like you have to be invited in or no garlic or sunlight, that kind of stuff?
There are different rules.
Okay.
Yeah, it's talked about in the film. But
all right.
there are different rules, yeah.
We'll have to wait and see the film. When does it open, and where can people see it?
It premieres on Saturday, June 7th at Marcus Palace Cinema in Sun Prairie at 3 p.m. Excuse me. You can get tickets on TickPick, and if you search Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road, I imagine it'll pop up. Otherwise, you could go to marshmallownapalm.com. And there's a link at the top of that page. And then it should be on streaming, I'm hoping, sometime this month. You know, I have to wait for people to do things. So it takes a little bit of time.
Where did the idea for the film come from? What was the inspiration for it?
Well, I write a lot of my stuff based on things that I have access to, or actors that I have access to, right? Okay. So, smart. What's that?
I said smart.
Yeah.
For an indie film, right?
Yeah. I mean, this has a fairly large budget, but still a fairly small budget, right? But things just add up and cost so much so quickly that I have to like look at, okay, where can I shoot this? Like what locations do I have and all of that stuff and put it together. And then I personally try to write a story around those things and those people. And I essentially included several of my friends that are actors and made them the main characters. And initially, one of my friends, his cousin is Lavelle Crawford, so I had written the part for him, and he read the script and he passed on it, and I'm guessing it's probably because I couldn't offer him enough money to do it, but who knows. I didn't really ask. But I then ended up finding Charlie Mack to play the part, so there were a few people that I did have to have audition. But a lot of people I already knew, so I just cast people. I probably only watched maybe four or five auditions for the entire movie, just because like I did a lot of footwork in searching out people that I thought fit in the first place. And then I would watch their reels, and I would watch like what I could find about them so that I could see, like, does this person do what I need? And then if, you know, they, instead of just have, because I did put out, some casting things, and I had like 600 people apply for a couple of the roles. And I don't really want to watch 600 auditions.
That's a lot of time. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, obviously you don't, you look through them and go like, no, that you don't, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're shuffling through and say you get down to a few, but so the idea came from sitting there going like, okay, I have access to this cabin that someone said that I could shoot at. Right. And then, these people that I have, I was like, well, this could be a funny idea to like kind of flip it. And like, you know, a lot of horror movies have, oh, we're going to go to a cabin, you know, and then like the monster shows up and I was like, well, let's kind of flip it around and have them have some.
Okay. I'm intrigued now. Austin Galante is my guest. He is the director of Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. Comedy horror involving four vampires. Sounds great. Where does the title come from?
Well, Sanguine Teeth, because, you know, vampires, yeah, right, in the blood. And then, you know, shot on a driftless road. So there's a really big sort of momentous scene, I suppose, that happens, okay, on a driftless road. And it, yeah, so that's kind of where, okay, it came from.
And you said, before we went on the air, you said you filmed part of it in Madison, but not necessarily, you kind of filmed around a lot. What did that, when you do that, when you film in different areas, what does that do to your budget too?
Well, it depends, right? Because a lot of locations I was able to get, you know, people were just cool and were like, here, that's fine, shoot here, right? And I did have to pay for some, but, you know, it was about access. There's like four gas stations in the movie, so that's a kind of a difficult thing to get,
yeah,
because gas stations are so busy all the time, you know, like, and they stay open till 2 a.m. because people are going to buy, you know, alcohol or whatever.
Cigarettes,
yeah. And so getting them to close down for any length of time is a bit of a challenge. So I had to find some like pretty rural gas stations,
yeah,
and then I had a connection to one. But so that was part of traveling, right? Like each of these locations was like, oh, I have this location that's here, but, you know, I'm going to have to drive. So there's a trade-off, right?
What kind of crew were you moving around? How many people were your crew typically?
Not real big. So the movie was shot over the course of last summer, and there were like individual shoot dates where the crew might just be me and Douglas Montoya, like him running sound, nice, and me doing a couple cameras at the same time. And then,
let's pick it up right there. We're going to do a real quick break.
Cool.
Austin will clear his throat.
Yeah.
And there's some water there. And we'll be right back to talk about more of this cool new movie, Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road, with its director, writer, actor, producer. We wore a lot of hats, folks. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, our question of the night, it is National Game Show Day. So what is your favorite game show? Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite game show is Jeopardy. I would say Conrad Jeopardy is in the...
It's in the running.
In the run. Don't you think we're ahead, though, on Jeopardy?
Yeah, it's the winner so far.
Yeah. Tom from New Berlin says, Dialing for Dollars, WISN Milwaukee, the 70s. I don't remember that. Was that only a local show? It's kind of cool. The title Dialing for Dollars sounds familiar. And then Tony the Trucker. Hey, buddy. He says, Pete, favorite game show is The Chase. Hope your stay in Madison is enjoyable. If I wasn't working, I would have loved to take you to a great burger joint. You know what, Tony? It's funny you say that. Thank you for that. I used to eat at Dottie Dumplings. And when I would drink, I would come down the night before I was shooting at PBS and I would have two humongous martinis. Because I love their martinis and their burgers are phenomenal. Now I don't drink anymore, so at least not yet. You drink, Austin?
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah?
Sometimes.
I feel like I should start again. I don't know. It wasn't like court ordered. I just stopped. But Austin Galente, that's his voice. Folks, he's here in the studio. He is a writer, director, producer, actor. He's worked in the music industry. He's done a lot of different stuff, worn a lot of different hats. His film Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road opens June 13th at the Marcus Theater.
June 7th.
Oh, wow. We are really close. I thought that June 13th. June 7th at the Marcus Theater in Sun Prairie. What do you do after that? How long of a run do you have? Is it kind of based on the turnout or that kind of thing?
That's just a one-off premiere. And okay. Then I'm working on getting it on streaming.
Yeah.
I highly doubt it'll get a theatrical run. Okay. It's quite a long movie for an indie movie. And, to get your movie into theaters is quite expensive.
Yeah, it is. it sure is. Unless they pick up the bill, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about your cast. It's kind of a big cast for an indie film, I think. Ambitious. Where did you find your actors?
let's see. I knew a lot of them. or quite a few of them. And then, you know, there were some recommendations from people. And then I did a fair amount of looking on IMDb to find a few people that I needed to fill some of the last roles. And I also put a casting on backstage.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got a lot of responses, but I don't know. I don't think I actually put anybody in the movie from there. Mm. There was one person that I had cast for a role, and then they flaked.
Oh, great. Gotta love that.
So I had to find somebody like the week before.
What kind of actors did you find in the Madison area? Is there good talent here for movies? What's the film community in general like, would you say, in Madison?
Yeah, there's a lot of good actors here, yeah. I think. And in Milwaukee and Chicago, there's a number of people from Chicago, or at least a few people from Chicago in the movie, and also a handful probably from Milwaukee. I think there's a couple from Madison, Green Bay. There's at least one or two.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time remembering exactly where everyone's from.
No pressure.
Someone lives in Racine.
You're not a you're not a native Wisconsinite.
No.
So you've been here, like you said, about 4 years or
eight.
So? 8 years. Okay. So how do you find overall the state? They're trying to pass this incentive package for filmmakers. As an outsider, you said you lived in L.A. and Oregon. What is your perception of Wisconsin and the filmmaking that goes on here?
I think it would be great if they passed the film incentive.
Same.
I don't know. I haven't, like, looked at the bill to see exactly, you know, what
I've
it would
do. I've got a copy right here. I'd love to have your opinion.
Give me 37 minutes.
30 seconds. I'll speed read it.
I think anything that's going to bring more attention, more funding, obviously, like the new movie that I'm shooting, almost shot in Montana because of grant money. Mm. I mean, if it's going to bring other productions here, that's good for actors, right?
Yeah, like, for
that's,
sure.
That's good for crew, and I think it would be marvelous.
Let me ask you this, and I'm glad you'll stay through intermission / the news, because you've had a great career in music. You've worked with Snoop Dogg, CeeLo Green, who wrote Conrad, am I right? Is he one of your favorites ever?
I mean, he's all right.
Bailing already. Didn't you just say that last week? Or
who?
Did you say it was your favorite song?
No, forget you.
Making
is,
that up.
Forget you is great. Yeah, forget you is the
forget
best song
you is
ever.
Outstanding. It's not. It's the imitation. But we'll talk about that with Austin as well. But I want to ask you. You've won some awards for acting. You've got like a best honorable mention for best supporting actor or something like that. What made you? You're the guy behind this film. What made you not give yourself the lead role?
Well, I don't know. I think that's a lot to do,
yeah,
right? Like
for sure.
All the stuff that I did for the movie. And I felt like, you know, in writing it, I had to think about, like, how can I pull this off with a minimal crew and still act in some of it, right?
Right.
And I wanted to be able to kind of control, you know, the lighting and camera and stuff like that. And for a lot of it, I'm doing director of photography. And then there's a portion where we shot at the cabins. Someone else was sort of taking on that role. I was still doing lighting and a lot of other stuff. I mean, not a lot changed. It was just a lot of hats. And so trying to be like, you know, a lead actor would have been...
It's a lot.
I actually have a much bigger part in the next movie. And it's going to be pretty intense, you know, trying to, because it's like switching your brain from got to set up all these things and then, oh, now I've got to remember my lines.
Austin Galante is my guest. He will be here through the news. We'll talk to him about his time working with people like Snoop Dogg and CeeLo Green. It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. Don't go away. Civic Media's news team is about to tell you what's up. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Federal hate crime charges are filed against an Egyptian man in Boulder, Colorado.
Throw Molotov cocktails at a group of men and women, some of them in their late 80s, burning them as they peacefully walked on a Sunday.
Acting U.S. Attorney Bishop Gruhl says 12 people who gathered to show support for Israeli hostages were injured. No resolution after talks between Ukraine and Russia in Turkey. It follows Ukrainian drone attacks on Russia airfields. National Security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
I would expect Ukraine to continue to use non-traditional methods like drones to try to accomplish its military objectives and to really show Russia and the rest of the world that they aren't backing down.
President Trump and China's president are expected to talk about tariffs. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
Even though there have been other conversations and meetings with the principals, this one is the one that matters. And all we know is that it could happen as soon as this week.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.